The reason why we practice meditation is for the purpose of letting go. This is a very easy, clear way of explaining the teaching which the Lord Buddha gave to the world. Is the teaching on how to let go. And this is a teaching which is very much prized, or this is an idea which is very much prized in the world, the concept of letting go, or being able to let go. So we go around telling each other that, you know, you just have to let go, or you have to learn to let go. Well, why don't you just let go, let it go, or so on. But we find, we try that the reality of it is that letting go is not as simple as just willing it or wishing it to be so. Wishing ourselves not to hold on, not to attach. And so we look at the Lord Buddha's teaching as a way to really and truly let go. A way to really and truly be free from our attachments and our addictions to things. Because it goes deeper than simply letting go. It gives an explanation of why it is that we hold on in the first place and how we do away with the causes of attachment. Because attachment is not the beginning. It doesn't just arise by itself. It doesn't just arise out of nothing. It arises out of causes and conditions. And so the Lord Buddha taught the causes and conditions, why we hold on, why we attach, and ultimately why we suffer. And so we have the core teaching of the Lord Buddha on dependent origination. In Pali, it's Paticca Samuppada. And it starts, avijja paccaya sankhara, with ignorance as a condition there arises sankhara, or formations. And in this case it means mental formations or volitional tendencies. Volition, or in Buddhist terms karma, as we've heard the word karma, means an intention, either a good intention or a bad intention. Our intention to do things that we may get a result. Our wish, our desire for things to be so, to be this way or be that way. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So we see ignorance. Avijja means ignorance. Ignorance is the root cause of all karma, of all wishes and all desires for things to be thus or to be this or be that. And this is an explanation of what is the start, the very beginning of attachment. It comes from ignorance. And so the Buddha's teaching is all about learning to see clearly, because of course our attachments take an object. When we attach, we are attaching to something, be it something in our mind or something in the world around us that we see or hear or smell or taste or feel. And we hold on to these things because of at the root because of ignorance. Because ignorance leads us to desire for things, leads us to create our mental intentions and to act out on our intentions by hurting other people or hurting ourselves or putting out effort to get the things we want or to be free from the things which we don't want. But the actual explanation on how this then leads to attachment and to suffering, we have to continue on. So we have ignorance leads us to act out things, leads us to do things, leads us to create intention in our minds. But how does this intention work? And how does it have to do with holding on? We go on to sankhara paccaya vinyanang, consciousness. With these karmas, these things which we've done in the past, in say past lifetimes, then there arises consciousness. With these karma as a cause, then there arises consciousness. So in the beginning of when we're born, there arises a consciousness. We don't have to think yet about past life. If we start about at the moment of conception, when there arises consciousness in the womb, and this is the start of everything. It comes as a cause of our intentions in a past life. But we start simply here from consciousness. And this is going to come back again to ignorance and to karma. So if we start here at vinyana, consciousness, then we have continuing on vinyana paccaya namarupa, namarupang, with consciousness as a cause, as a condition, and there arises a body and mind, or object and subject, subject and object. So when there is consciousness of something. And so when we are first arise in the womb of our mother, we have consciousness as our body progresses, and there are eyes and ears and nose and tongue and the body, then we have the six senses. And the six senses are basically namarupa, which are the object and the subject. So the subject is the vijnana, the knowing of the object, and the object itself is a sight or a sound or a smell or a taste or a feeling or a thought. So with the object and subject, there come the salayatana, the six senses. When we have consciousness, then there arises body and mind, and there arises the six senses. Now with the six senses as the cause, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and thinking, there arises contact. And this is all part of the same experience. Contact means contact between the mind and the object. And contact is the important part. This is where we start getting back to ignorance. Because when there is contact, when the mind touches the eye, and there arises seeing, or when the mind touches the ear and there arises hearing, then we can see that the eye and the ear and the nose and the tongue and the body and the heart, they are there all the time. Our eyes are sometimes open, and yet we don't see the things in front of us. Why? Our mind is somewhere else. Our mind hasn't come in contact with the eye. Or we have ears, but we're oblivious to the things people are saying around us. Why? Because our mind is occupied with something else. Or smelling, or tasting, or feeling, or thinking. Sometimes we're not even aware of what we're thinking because the mind is preoccupied with something else, or the mind is not aware of the thought. But when there does arise the contact, so when we see something in the mind goes out to the eye and there is seeing, then there arises vetana. Salayatana, pasa paccaya vetana. With contact as a condition, there arises feeling. And this is where everything starts. So when we see something because of the mind and the eye and the light touching the eye, then there arises a feeling. A happy feeling if it's something we enjoy, an unhappy feeling if it's something that we don't enjoy. And if it's neither nor, then there's a neutral feeling. But at any rate, there arises one of the three kinds of feelings. And this is where we come back again to what happened in our past life, and we're going to continue the same thing over in this life, where avijja paccaya sankhara. At the time when we feel something, if we feel happy and we have ignorance, we're not clearly aware that this is simply a feeling, there will arise tanha. Tanha, which is craving. So vetana paccaya tanha. With feeling as a condition, there arises craving. So when we see something that we like, when we're sitting here and we see something beautiful, there arises craving, wanting for it. If something unpleasant arises, we see or we hear or we smell, then there arises a different type of craving, a craving for it not to be, a craving to be rid of the object of our discomfort. And if we have a neutral feeling, then there arises a craving for it to continue. For the calm, for the peace to continue, there arises a attachment to being that in that way. And a craving towards being at peace and having the peaceful feeling continue. And this arises again because of avijja, but we have to go back to the beginning. At the moment when feeling arises, when we feel something, a happy feeling because of we see or we hear or we smell, or an unhappy feeling or a neutral feeling, if we don't have mindfulness, If we're not simply aware that this is a feeling, this is where we start to hold on. Because craving leads to upatana, tanha paccaya upatana, upatanang. With craving as a condition, there arises clinging. So now we see where everything comes from. Ignorance, at the moment when there is feeling, when we see or we hear or we smell, leads to craving, wanting it to continue. Not realizing that it's impermanent, that it's unsatisfying, that it's not under our control. Not seeing it simply as a part of nature, as a natural phenomenon, but taking pleasure in it, or taking, becoming angry about it, or upset, or frustrated by it. And simply taking it for what it is, we become to be intoxicated by it, and this is called tanha, or craving. With craving as a condition, then there arises clinging, and this is where holding on comes from. If at the moment when someone says something bad to us and we find we can't let it go, it's because at the moment when first the sound arose, we weren't able to see that it was simply a sound arising at the ear. When the sound then got into our minds and there arose thoughts of hatred or thoughts of anger or thoughts of displeasure, then we weren't able to see that these were simply thoughts and emotions and not under our control, not ours to hold on to, not something that we should cling to. When we didn't see clearly in this way, then there became craving, a wanting, a wish for it to be like this. And this gets back to avijja paccaya sankhara. So it goes in circles. In this life, we're just continuing what we've done in the past lives. We're creating more karma. And when we die, when we pass away, then there will be another vijnana, there will be more consciousness. We'll be born again and again and again and again. And the way to become free, the way to really let go is to create vicha, which is nascence or science or or understanding or wisdom, knowledge you could say. When there arises knowledge that the things which arise in front of us are impermanent, are unsatisfying, and are not ours, are not under our control, then we're able to see them for what they are and let them come and let them go and not crave for them to be this way or that way, not need for it to be like this or like that, and so not cling to anything. Of course, when we cling, then it leads us to seek out and to take action, needing things to be like this or be like that, when it's a pleasant things, working and working hard to keep the objects of our pleasure. And of course, that they're, since they're impermanent, since they're unsatisfying, since they're not under our control, then we find ourselves often meeting with things which are undesirable, or losing the things which are the object of our desire. And of course, this is the truth of suffering, the truth of what it means, or the truth which we have to face, which is called suffering. And this is a detailed explanation of the cause of suffering, that it comes from ignorance. Because we can't see things simply for what they are, then we crave for them either to continue or for them to disappear. And when we crave for them like this or like that, then it leads to a clinging, it leads to an addiction. When we get what we want, or when we are able to do away with what we don't want, then it becomes a part of our habit, that every time that phenomenon arises, we're forced into a position of clinging, having it, needing for it to be this way or that way, not able to bear with things simply as they are. And this leads for us then to leads to us then making effort or putting out effort to keep things the way they are, keep things in a certain way and set up and control our lives, when of course our lives and the whole world around us are not under our control, are something which are much bigger than us and involve natural laws of impermanence, of unsatisfaction, dissatisfaction, and of uncontrollability, which are a part of nature, which are a part of the way things are. And so this leads us to suffer when we don't get what we want, to suffer when we get things which are unpleasant to us, when our wishes are unfulfilled, and so on and so on. And this is an understanding of of what it means to hold on. So of course, what it means to let go is when we do see clearly. When we see clearly something which arises. So at the moment when we're doing walking meditation or sitting meditation and an emotion arises, and we're able to catch the emotion and simply say to ourselves, angry, angry, or wanting, wanting, and let it go. Not getting to the point where we need it to be this and we need it to be that, or even to the point where it makes an impression on our minds where we like it or we are displeased by it. We simply let it arise and let it cease, as it naturally does anyway, without having for it to be any other way. Then there arises no craving, there arises no clinging, there arises no suffering, needing things to be in this way or that way. And this is what it means in Buddhism, what it means to let go. It means to create wisdom, to see clearly. And so wisdom is held to be the highest virtue in Buddhism. Simply letting go by itself cannot occur without seeing clearly. You cannot force yourself to let go of the things which you like or the things which you dislike. This becomes some sort of repression, forcing yourself into a position which is not in line with your own understanding, where you force yourself to believe something which you don't believe. When something you enjoy arises, you force yourself to think that it's undesirable, when in fact, in your own view, it is desirable. And this creates repression, and this creates more mental sickness, and can even lead to bodily sickness. At the time when you see clearly that these things which we think are desirable are actually merely a cause for more suffering because of our later attachment to them, when we see clearly in this way, then we don't wish for them, we don't desire for them, and so we don't cling to them. And so we can see this, the true way of letting go is actually part of a larger process, which comes from seeing clearly that these things are not truly desirable, and so not desiring them and not then clinging to them, not having not letting the attachment arise in the first place. And so this is an exposition of dependent origination as well, of the Buddhist concept of where attachment comes from, where suffering comes from, and how letting go occurs, and how suffering therefore ceases. And so this is the Dhamma which I give today. And so now we practice together. First we do mindful prostration, and then walking, and then sitting, do according to your own time. And we'll be here until 2 p.m.